for kilohertz and at 20 to 30 hours on 9435 kilohertz. Listeners in East Africa can hear us at 11:30 hours UTC on 17545 kilohertz and at 4:30 hours on 9890 kilohertz. Listeners in the Middle East can listen to Radio Prague at 11:30 hours UTC on 17545 kilohertz. Those of you tuning in North America can hear us at 14 hours on 13580 kHz, at 22:30 and 23:30 hours on 5930 kHz, also at 23:30 hours on 7345 kHz, and at 1, 2 and 4 hours on 6200 and 7345 kHz. Listeners in Southern Asia can tune in at 10 hours on 15710 kHz and at 14 hours UTC on 11600 kHz. Listeners in Asia and Australia can tune in at 18 hours on 9400 kHz. Listeners in Southern East Asia and Australia can tune in at 21 hours on 9430 kHz. And finally, listeners in Southwest Asia can hear us at 4:30 UTC on 9890 kHz. Don't forget, Radio Prague also broadcasts via satellite and on the internet. For more details, see our website at www.radio.cz/English. Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic and the Seychelles have signed a draft extradition treaty. The Czech ambassador to Moscow has said that plans for a U.S. radar base in the Czech Republic will not be enough to disrupt future progress in Czech-Russian relations. Sweden is to decide whether or not to launch an investigation into corruption allegations concerning Gripen jets leased to the Czech military. Czech Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil has revealed that the Czech Republic and the Seychelles signed a draft extradition treaty on Friday. If approved, the agreement could affect the fortunes, for example, of fugitive billionaire Radovan Krejčíř, wanted by authorities in the Czech Republic. The Czech-born businessman who holds Seychelles citizenship fled during a police search of his home near Prague in 2005, avoiding prosecution for suspected criminal activities, including, allegedly, the planned murder of a customs official. If approved, the draft treaty signed on Friday will apply to citizens of both the Czech Republic and the Seychelles, but will also allow for extradition requests to be turned down. The Czech ambassador to Moscow, Miroslav Kostelka, has said that even if plans for a U.S. radar base on Czech territory get approval, it will not be enough to disrupt future progress in Czech-Russian relations. He said as much on Friday in an interview for CTK, the Czech news agency. In the interview, the ambassador stressed the statements made by a Russian military official this week were unacceptable, reflecting on the fact that Russia has been very critical of the U.S. plans and has threatened to aim missiles at the sites in both Poland and the Czech Republic if anti-missile installations are built. Both Poland and the Czech Republic have already indicated a willingness to begin talks with the U.S. Sweden's chief prosecutor has said that his country's judiciary will decide in the coming weeks whether or not to launch an investigation into corruption allegations concerning the lease of Gripen fighter jets to the Czech military. The chief prosecutor declined to comment whether the Swedes would cooperate on the case with Czech authorities. Swedish television reported this week that the business deal, which saw the lease of 14 jets by the British-Swedish consortium BAE Systems Saab to the Czech Republic, had been accompanied by widespread corruption. In the Czech Republic, former government officials involved in the contract have said they did not register corruption in connection with the case. And finally, let's take a look at the weather in the coming days. The weekend is expected to be partly cloudy with intermittent sunny periods. Daytime temperatures are expected to reach highs of 6 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. In today's program, Tom Stoppard's rock and roll premieres in Prague. Demand for the illegal Czech-made stimulant pervitin is on the rise in neighboring Germany and Austria, and Prague's Mucha Museum receives its millionth visitor. Finally, for the first time ever, the Czech Republic is taking part in the Eurovision Song Contest. We have all that, plus the latest business news for you, so please stay with us. The red carpet was out on Thursday evening for the Czech premiere of the latest play by the renowned British playwright Tom Stoppard. He was born in Czechoslovakia, and the play, Rock and Roll, is partly set in Prague. It begins with the Soviet crushing of the Prague Spring in 1968 and ends with a Rolling Stones concert at the city's Strahov Stadium in 1990. Ian Willoughby was at the premiere.
Underground rock band, the Plastic People of the Universe, performing at Prague's National Theatre before the premiere of the Czech version of Tom Stoppard's Rock and Roll. It was their arrest in 1976 that led to the Charter 77 dissident movement, which included future Czech president Václav Havel. Like Havel, the Plastic People are frequently mentioned in the play, which features their music alongside several Western rock songs. Jiří Kabeš is the band's violinist.
I've actually been quite moved by the fact the audience was so enthusiastic and got into it so much. The way the second half reaches a climax, and I'm not just saying this because it ends with us on stage, really works well, I think.
The premiere of Rock and Roll was a hot ticket in Prague, with the play sold out sometime in advance. Some of those lucky enough to get in gave me their impressions of the Czech version.
I liked separate talks and interviews and speeches, but I must say I didn't understand the whole thing. I just didn't. But I enjoyed it.
Do you think he captured the real dissident world at all?
I don't think so.
Somebody was saying earlier that this play could have been written by a Czech person, but finally it's been written by an Englishman.
It's true that no good play has been written by a Czech author, but I don't think this is a good play either.
I did like it. And I did like it because National Theatre is a special place. The Plastic are a special group. And just being here is a perfect feeling. The play is a good play. And I did like the actors. I did like the text. I did like the music. I loved it. And I was happy to see how the audience reacted.
Sir Tom Stoppard himself joined the cast on stage at the end of Rock and Roll to huge applause. He was born in the Czech town of Zlín, but left at the age of two and speaks no Czech. But that didn't prevent the world-famous playwright from enjoying the Czech language premiere.
Well, I was very excited to be coming here at all, and I was very excited by the production, and the whole thing has been a really memorable evening for me personally, and I'm very pleased.
What about the audience reaction? Did they laugh in different parts at different moments?
The audience reaction was fascinating because they did react differently in different parts. They laughed at things which were special to the Czech experience. And I found that was perhaps the most fascinating thing about the evening for me, though, frankly, I enjoyed the whole thing.
And Tom Stoppard said the moment when the Plastic People appeared on stage at the end of the Czech version of Rock and Roll was one of the greatest moments of his career.
That report by Ian Willoughby. Now, Flyers chocolate, shabu or gingerbread, currently the most popular hard drug in the Czech Republic, has a lot of names and a colourful history. It was first synthesised in Japan in 1893, and during the Second World War it was given to the country's kamikaze pilots. The German military dispensed the drug to its pilots, and Adolf Hitler is rumoured to have received 3 daily injections of it from his personal physician. It was banned after the war, but was later rediscovered by drug addicts in communist Czechoslovakia. Illegal Czech producers are now smuggling it back to Germany and Austria. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Pervitin, the official name for the homemade hard drug, is an amphetamine that causes euphoria and excitement. It has the same effect on the brain as cocaine, but is cheaper and more available. Pernik, or gingerbread as it's called by Czech addicts, can be synthesized from over-the-counter flu medicine in a simple home lab. It can be injected, sniffed, or taken orally, and during the communist years it was the only hard drug available on the illegal drugs market. Consequently, Czech drug addicts have plenty of experience in making it. Whereas in the past they produced it for a small circle of friends, now they've discovered a new market in neighbouring Austria and Germany. Pavla Lechkova from the National Monitoring Centre for Drug Abuse explains the growing demand for it.
It has similar effects as cocaine, but cocaine is much more expensive. So that's why people start to substitute cocaine with pervitin. And there are people who know how to make the drug. They go to other countries and make pervitin there. But also the drug itself is smuggled over the borders because if you are a producer, you can sell it in the Czech Republic, but you can sell it for double price in Germany or Austria.
In neighbouring Germany, pervitin is sold under the name Crystal and has become a popular party drug. The German authorities report a growing number of cases and the two countries have now joined forces to try and fight it. A special Czech-German police squad, codenamed Crystal, now operates along the common border. But the German daily Die Welt, which reported on the problem last week, says it may be too late. The demand for Crystal is there, and German addicts are gradually learning how to produce it themselves.
Prague's Mucha Museum, dedicated to the life and work of the world-renowned Czech artist Alfons Mucha, received its millionth visitor this week. The museum was opened in January 1998 and is the most frequently visited private museum in the Czech capital. Lenka Petáková has more.
Czech painter Alfons Mucha, who was born in 1860 in southern Moravia, is one of the world's most famous exponents of the ornate Art Nouveau style of painting. He is perhaps best known for his popular posters of the famous French actress Sarah Bernhardt. The Mucha Museum in Prague is the only museum in the world dedicated to the Czech artist. All its exhibits come from the painter's own family and they cover every period of Mucha's life and career. Since the museum opened in 1998, people from all over the world have been flocking to it to see its extensive collection of decorative panels, drawings, oil paintings and personal memorabilia. This week, the Mucha Museum welcomed its millionth visitor, British schoolteacher Victoria Manley, a lifelong fan of Mucha's work who is also very fond of the Prague Museum.
I've been before. I came in the year 2000 and I thought it was a beautiful museum, small and just like a jewel really. And I came to tell my mum about it this year. And I've always loved Mucha and I particularly like his floral symbols and because he's so influential in throughout Czech art.
Geraldina Mucha, the Scottish widow of Alfons Mucha's son Jiří, has lived in Prague for many years and is heavily involved in the Mucha Museum's activities. Her delight at the museum's massive popularity is also tinged with a little sadness.
Well, anything like this, I always feel it's such a pity that my husband didn't live to see this museum. It was his dream to have a small museum in the centre of town, and that's what I'm always so sad about, that he didn't live to see it. It didn't open, I think, about 9 years ago. Yes, it's quite a good record, isn't it? It's very satisfactory.
The Mucha Museum is located in the Kamenický Palace in the very heart of Prague. You can find out more about its exhibits and activities by going to www.mucha.cz.
Time now on Radio Prague for our weekly roundup of Czech business news with Daniela Lazarová and Colleen O'Connor.
A Czech firm has posted profits exceeding 1 billion euro for the first time ever. In 2006, energy giant ČEZ enjoyed record profits of 28.8 billion Czech crowns, a year-on-year increase of nearly 30%. The company put the surge in income down to increased demand for electricity among consumers at a time when ČEZ has been increasing prices at an annual rate of around 10%. Critics say the firm's success is down to a lack of competition on the Czech power market. ČEZ's soaring profits may encourage the Czech state to sell off some of its two-thirds stake in the company in order to finance a 30 billion crown investment into the country's transport infrastructure. With ČEZ flying high, most analysts agree that the Czech government is bound to get a good price if it were to decide to sell off some of its shares in the firm. The Spanish energy concern Iberdrola is apparently one of a number of multinationals interested in the Czech power company.
Czech car manufacturer Škoda Auto has posted record earnings for 2006. The automobile firm's net income rose by more than 40% to an all-time high of 11.06 billion Czech crowns, or well over half a billion US dollars. For the first time ever, the company sold more than half a million cars last year. With the introduction of its new Fabia model next month, the car maker hopes it can sell over 600,000 cars in 2007. Despite the buoyant figures, however, the company warned that the Czech Republic's constant postponement of a euro adoption date could complicate exports to its key Western European markets in the future. Škoda is currently the Czech Republic's biggest exporter, accounting for 7.7% of all the country's exports.
The number of tourists visiting the Czech Republic has dropped in most regions, according to figures from the Czech Statistical Office. 9 of the country's 14 regions saw a decline of between 0.5 and 5% in the number of foreign visitors in 2006. A spokesman for the Czech Travel Agencies Association put the decline down to the fact that most potential tourists from Western Europe had already visited the country in the 17 years since the Velvet Revolution, and it was necessary to improve the quality of services and remove notorious problems such as the overcharging of foreigners in taxis and restaurants to make them come back a second time. One area to buck the trend was the Karlovy Vary region in West Bohemia, which experienced an increase of 20% in the number of foreign tourists. This was primarily down to an increase in the number of Russians visiting the spas of Karlovy Vary, which are hugely prestigious in Russia. Overall, 230,000 Russians visited the country last year, an increase of almost one-third compared with 2005.
Czech employees spend around 100 million hours playing computer games at work every year, according to Econom magazine. The Business Weekly says that Czechs waste a further 120 million hours reading newspapers on the internet. Econom was quoting Czech entrepreneur Karel Doležal, whose IT consulting firm produces a so-called e-detective device, which gives precise information on what employees use their computers for. So far, around 100 firms and institutions have monitored 60,000 computers with the device, and some have even sacked work-shy employees based on the information they have obtained using eDetective. And that's all the business news we have for you today.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Time now for the arts with Ian Willoughby.
Sweden's ABBA performed the winning song Waterloo at the 1974 Eurovision Song Contest, kick-starting one of the most successful careers in modern music. Other famous Eurovision winners include Lulu and Celine Dion. The Czech Republic has never taken part in Eurovision, but one Czech has.
Pilsen i Czechoslovakia. Han går under navnet Østeuropas Frank Sinatra. Ordinær smoking med blank kanting.
Det Evergreen Czech singer Karel Gott, hugely popular in German-speaking countries, represented Austria with this song, Tausend Fenster. That was way back in 1968, 12 years after Eurovision began. It's taken the Czech Republic itself over 5 decades to join up with Eurovision. The country's search for a representative begins on Friday, when public broadcaster Czech Television launches a programme called Eurosong. Martin Krafel is the station's spokesman.
There's no actually some definitely advice from the organizer how to do that. But the Czech TV was studying the complex of other contests in other European countries. And we decided to organize a national contest. And we invited 10 interpreters with very different kind of music, and viewers will decide who they like.
They'll vote by SMS.
Exactly. And they have a long time for voting, because we start on February 23rd, so they can vote before the national contest and then during the program on CT1 on March 10th at 8 p.m.
The 10 entrants in Eurosong are mostly established pop stars. Unlike people in some participating states, Czechs won't be asked to choose from songs by hitherto unknown artists. Among those taking part is Samer Issa. He shot to fame after taking part in the Czech version of Pop Idol.
Pro mě je to velká příležitost jakoby ukázat lidem vlastně jako co teď obnáším.
For me it's a great honor. It's a chance to show people what my new music is all about. My style is R&B. I have my own dancers and it's going to be a big show. I just want to make sure that it's lively and makes viewers happy.
The 10 artists taking part were mostly selected on the basis of chart placings, though 3 were chosen by Czech TV itself. Samer Issa says the choice is just right.
Já si myslím, že to je v pohodě, že je to velmi zajímavý a že ten večer bude celkově velmi pestrý a velmi zajímavý.
I think it's cool. It's interesting. And the show will be really colorful. You have pop artists like Helena Vondráčková alongside great singers like Petr Kolář and even underground artists like Gypsy, who I love.
Znamená, že jsou tam skvělí interpreti a nemám s tím problém jako.
Gypsy says he doesn't care that in some parts of Europe, the Eurovision is regarded as old-fashioned and uncool.
Czech Republic is a country as other countries in Europe, and no matter what others think about it, I think we have some kind of music which is good. And it's time to let know the Europe that we have the new good music over here.
Napovíš svým pohybem, co jiný říká básní, procházíš tou zvláštní proměnou. Jako vír tu s námi točí, ten rytmus šílený, ani tykr neútočí.
Helena Vondráčková is perhaps the most surprising choice among the 10 contestants. She won a Czechoslovak national talent contest in 1964. And is still a huge pop star today. Why include Vondráčková at the expense of some up-and-coming young artist? Czech TV's Martin Krafel.
Helena is the queen of Czech pop music. She speaks many languages. She sings wonderful, but she also dances. She's really a show business person. And we are really proud that she said yes, because it was very quick yes. She was really very happy about this offer. And we are quite sure that if Helena will be chosen by public, she will be a wonderful representative of the Czech pop music.
While Helena Vondráčková was quick to accept, a host of other Czech stars said no to Eurosong. Among them, Krzysztof, Anna K. and the extremely popular Aneta Langerová, who won Czech pop idol the year Samir Issa took part.
Třeba pro mě Aneta je výborná zpěvačka, mám jí velmi rád jako osobnost a jako člověka, ale myslím si, že...
For me, Aneta is a brilliant singer, and I really like her as a personality and a person. But in terms of presenting herself internationally, she's not the kind of person who could... Well, actually, she could represent the Czech Republic. But I don't know if her genre of music would appeal on the European stage.
Jejího žánru není možná tak zajímavý pro jako evropský svět de facto.
Well, I'm afraid they are not sure if they can be successful on the European level. Some of them were also not sure if such a big contest, which is well known in Europe, but not well known in the Czech Republic, because we didn't broadcast it yet in our history, could be a successful project.
Given that Eurovision has no history in this country, will the concept catch on in the Czech Republic?
We hope so. There were other contests in singing on Czech TVs in few past years. So we believe that the interest in music and in songs will be also actual in this year, and that this project will be interesting for our views.
If the winner of the Czech competition Eurosong wins the actual Eurovision in Helsinki this year, you, Czech TV, will have to organize the next Eurovision Song Contest, which is a really huge event. Wouldn't you be slightly worried about winning and having to host it?
Not at all. We are very happy, and we would be very happy if this will happen. And we've done many big projects like Stardance or the Greatest Czech. We organize many sport events for other European countries and their public TVs. So we have enough experience to manage this.
Czech TV will be among dozens of channels broadcasting the Eurovision final from Helsinki on May 12th. If the Czech representative makes it through a semi-final a couple of days earlier, they will appear before hundreds of millions of TV viewers around the continent. And who knows, it could be the springboard to a glittering career for a new Czech ABBA.
The Arts with Ian Willoughby has brought us to the end of the program. I'd like to remind you that all the stories you heard today can be found on our website, www.radio.cz, both in sound and text. The address for your questions, comments and reception reports is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Now from me, Pavla Horáková, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and have a very good weekend.
Sasu chyba, amen na czanen. Czuna zapasza wiben katarda. Ciwa spełta kwiata arman. Durman, dziorki oro twajle. Bela nas fala turkera starte.